Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Waiting. Is waiting difficult for you, my friends? Do you like surprises? In the weeks following the resurrection of Jesus, all his disciples and close friends were almost continually waiting, wondering when and where his next appearance would be. Jesus gave them no warning, and there was no predictable pattern of his sudden appearances. In fact, we're fairly confident we do not have a biblical record of every post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. Did you know that? The Apostle Paul wrote about this in his letter to the Christians in Corinth about 30 years after that historic Passover Easter weekend. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then to the 12, 1 Corinthians 15. You notice, I'm sure, that for Paul, it was absolutely essential that the incarnation, sinless life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus all verifiably happened and are documented by eyewitnesses and happened according to prophecies of the Scriptures. Jesus himself had several times told the disciples that these events must happen because they were foretold by the prophets and the Scriptures must be fulfilled. When Paul refers to the 12, of course everyone knew there were 12 disciples personally selected by Jesus to walk with him during those months. Judas Iscariot had abandoned and betrayed Jesus and then taken his own life, Matthew 27. That left 11 remaining disciples, but they were still often referred to by that title, the 12. It is also true that after Jesus' ascension, the disciple Peter had led the group in selecting a 12th man to replace Judas Iscariot, and Matthias was selected, Acts chapter 1. Look with me at what else Paul writes next about the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. After that, Jesus appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, 1 Corinthians 15. We have no record of this appearance of resurrected Jesus to a large crowd of 500 people, nor of a private, personal appearance of Jesus to James. In fact, many wonder, is this James, the brother of John, who had been a disciple from the beginning, or is this James the son of Joseph and Mary, the half-brother of Jesus? We know James, the half-brother of Jesus, had been skeptical and critical of Jesus during his lifetime, which is partly why Jesus entrusted his mother to John. But that James did become a strong believer in Jesus after his resurrection, and actually, he became a leader in the Jerusalem church, and he even was the author of the New Testament book which bears his name. Thus, many people believe Paul's reference to Jesus appearing to James might be a private, personal appearance of Jesus to his half-brother. And of course, we notice that Paul includes his own Damascus Road experience with the resurrected Jesus, which was in Acts chapter 9. May I challenge you to a fascinating Bible study, my friends? From the gospel accounts, make a chronological listing of all the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, beginning with that Easter morning and concluding with the ascension of Jesus in Acts chapter 1. Then add to this list Paul's Acts 9 encounter with Jesus and John's Revelation 1 vision encounter with Jesus. I think you'll be amazed at how many times Jesus appeared in his resurrected body, to whom he appeared, and what he did in each of those appearances. Today, join me in looking at Jesus' final farewell appearance as recorded in Acts chapter 1. Dr. Luke, the author of Acts and the Gospel of Luke, of course, never met Jesus personally. Luke was the Apostle Paul's Greek physician, probably joining Paul's second missionary journey in Troas, according to Acts 16. Why do I say that? Notice the author of Acts for the first time uses the personal pronoun we in verse 10 when he writes, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Acts 16. Luke tells us that in Luke chapter 1, he had carefully investigated the claims about Jesus And we presume that meant he personally interviewed as many of the disciples and close friends of Jesus as he was able to find. Luke, led by the Holy Spirit in writing his two books, tells us, Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God, Acts chapter 1. And Luke tells us Jesus was very clear that he wanted his disciples and probably closest friends to be in Jerusalem waiting as he neared the end of that 40-day period after his resurrection. Waiting for what? Jesus had told them, "Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit," Acts 1. We recall that Jesus had spoken quite a bit about the Holy Spirit in the upper room that Thursday evening during their Passover meal together. These disciples were good Jewish men. They knew their Jewish history well, so they knew the Spirit of God had several times been sent by God to anoint some of their Old Testament heroes in wisdom and power. Heroes like Moses and Joshua, Gideon, Samson, Saul, and David. But Jesus had explained this would be very different, for this would be a temporary anointing. This would not be a temporary anointing, but a permanent infilling with the Holy Spirit residing within these followers of Jesus. So, evidently, they all made their way to Jerusalem and waited. Of course, they didn't know exactly what they were waiting for, nor how they would recognize it when the Holy Spirit finally arrived. Nor did they really understand what Jesus meant when he had said, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Andrew and John had watched John the Baptist baptize Jesus and other people, so they understood that, but baptized with the Holy Spirit was something they could not quite imagine. So let's wait with them, and tomorrow we'll see what happened next. What do you normally do when you are waiting on God for something? Do you wait with expectation and anticipation? Here's a worship song to help us wait with reverence.